Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday, May 26th edition of the MAOB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'm joined by my buddy here, Cole Sheldon from MMAOddsBreaker.com, for BJPenn.com, and we've worked at a few other websites where I'm at right now, but me and Cole have worked together for a while now. Cole, how's it going, man?
Doing well. How are you?
Good, Cole. I'm glad that we have an event this week, man. It's awesome. Like, I love breaking down the fights with you, man. You know, me and James used to do it. I used to love it, too. It was, like, one of my favorite parts of, like, just being an MMA writer. You know, especially like someone that's really into like the matchups themselves. So I can't wait to do today's show. But not just breaking down UFC Woodley Burns this weekend, we'll also be talking about all the latest news in MMA, Henry Cejudo, Colby Covington, Mike Tyson. So there's a lot to talk about today. And then obviously reader questions. You guys have any questions, send them in. And we will get to them periodically throughout the show. And then at the end, I'll take whatever other questions. We're here for an hour. So let's begin. So we'll start with UFC Woodley Burns, Cole. And as usual, we'll go from the bottom work way up. Didn't have an event last week, nothing to recap. So we'll just start with the preliminary fights on this card. Now, I should say, just, you know, as we usually do, we'll just give a quick, word on the card as a whole. I mean, it's not the greatest card, but, like, you guys got to remember that most of these fights were booked on, like, 1 or 2 weeks' notice. So, like, honestly, credit to these guys for stepping up and girls too on the card. Because, like, a lot of people don't want to fight on such short notice, and a lot of these fighters are right now. So you got to give it up for them, to the fighters, because they put on the show. The last couple cards have been really good, and I expect this one actually probably be a sneaky good card, Cole. Like, on paper, there's only really one big fight, the main event. But I actually think the card could have quite a bit of entertainment on it. What do you think, Cole?
Yeah, like, obviously the main event is what's going to drive everyone in. But a lot of these fights, it's just, like, interesting style matchups where they're not big names, but they're just styles. Like, you look at Billy Quarantillo and Spike Carlisle, like that one, both of them just bring it. Like, those aren't huge names, but that fight could be something really exciting. Like Jamal Hill, Clinton Abreu, there's just like exciting matchups, but not big names.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. Again, you know, these guys are stepping up on 1-2 weeks' notice. Yeah, some of the fights coming up, like the Jessica Eye fight, we'll talk about that later. Like, that's not like, you know, the kind of quality we're used to, but guys, remember, like, you know, people are not training properly right now. Like, they're doing, you know, different type of training with less training partners, less coaches. And it goes, every day is different right now. Like, we don't even know if this event's actually going to take place in Vegas. Cool. That's the other thing I should mention. Like, it's supposed to take place at the UFC Apex. If I'm not mistaken, on Wednesday, they're going to vote in Nevada to see if they aren't or not. I'm assuming they will allow it. I mean, it's gone this far. But if it doesn't, they could shift it to Arizona at the last minute. I don't think it would be that difficult for the UFC to pull that off. They have pulled it off on short notice. Like, that's not too far from Nevada, but they want it at the Apex, man. Like, that's where they want to do the event. Cool. It's just crazy how, like I said, every day something happens, you know? Like, we could wake up today or tomorrow and they could change their mind about this. So what do you think, man? You think it's going to take place in Vegas?
Yeah, I think it is. I think Dana White's just so in keen with Nevada that there's no way they've already promoted this whole event and Nevada says no. I think Dana White already knows how they're going to vote. I think it's just kind of formality that they have to vote and approve it, but I would be shocked if Nevada says no.
Yeah, no, me too, man. I think it's going to happen there, but again, there's always that small chance that something like someone votes against it or, you know, someone prominent has, I don't know, who knows? Okay, let's start with this comment here. Turned up MMA. Gentlemen, what's up? What's going on, man? Let's start with the bottom here. Cool. First fight of the night. Featherweight fight. It's actually two guys that typically fight at 135, so they're moving up a weight class, which actually happened last week or 2 weeks ago with the Yadong and Vera fight, and another fight that Cole's going to break on later on the show. He's already broken it, but we'll talk about it later. That's another fight that could be up a weight class, which, you know, to me, Cole, actually kind of makes sense. Like, you don't have as much time to train, and these guys' weights are kind of in flux right now, so I think moving up a weight class makes a lot of sense for these guys. Anyways, first fight of the night, Chris Gutierrez against Vince Morales at 145. Current odds, really close odds here. Gutierrez -115, Morales -105. Cole, who's your pick in this fight?
This is an interesting fight. And if this event does happen in the Apex, it's going to happen in the smaller octagon. So it's going to be interesting to see how that impacts fights. But in this one, I like Chris Gutierrez. I just think he's the better all-around fighter. He obviously is only UFC losses to Ronnie Barcelos, which is not a bad loss at all. He's one of the top 15 guys. Coming off two straight wins, Ron McDonald, Gerardo De Freitas, which is a good win. Morales is coming up the loss to Benito Lopez. That was the one where it was really close. People thought Morales might have won, but I just think Gutierrez is better on the ground. I know he lost by submission to Parcells, but he has a lot of submission wins. He has some knockout power. At 45, I want to see if he has more power where he can drop Morales, but Morales is a tough guy. He's hard to finish. I think Gutierrez is going to get it done by decision.
Yeah, good stuff there, Cole. I like your breakdown a lot. If you guys want to throw your picks in the chat, I should mention that. Go ahead, because we love to the back and forth. Disagreement or agreement's good. In this case, I'm going to agree with Cole to start off the night. I do like Gutierrez quite a bit. I'm surprised the odds are so close right now. He did open up a little bit bigger. He opened at minus 150, so Morales is getting some early love from bettors. But I think sharps are going to hit on Gutierrez here, Cole. I think he wins this fight, man. I like him. The guys look pretty good in the UFC. He's 2-1. Like you said, the loss to Barcelos, no shame in that loss. Barcelos is an absolute beast. He's a really good fighter. Since then, beat up Ryan McDonald and Geraldo de Freitas. Obviously not too, spectacular wins by any means, but still solid victories. Like, he looked good in those fights. Good striking, good kicks, good pace. You know, this guy can win decisions. So I like that about him. At 145, right, Colt, he might carry up some more power, which would be nice to see because his two wins in the UFC are by decision. But either way, I like his striking attack quite a bit. Morales, on the other hand, you know, he's kind of struggled a bit in the UFC, 2-2. But his fights have been competitive for the most part. He's going to decision, so he's able to tough it out for at least 50 minutes. Just depends what the judges say. I'll be honest, though, I haven't been too impressed with Vince Morales. Gutierrez is a guy who has impressed me. Stylistically, I think it's going to be a pretty good fight. Two guys, they're probably stand and bang for the 50 minutes. There could be some takedowns, but I think it's mostly going to be a striking battle here, Cole. And I expect Gutierrez to get the better of Morales. I think he just, like, kicks him and, you know, just outstrikes him from the outside to win the decision. So that's my pick. Gutierrez minus 150 and start off the night. Next up, we got a bantamweight belt between Casey Kenney and Lewis Smolka. Good fight here as well. Fun fight. Casey Kenney's a big favorite, Cole. Minus 270, Lewis Smolka plus 230. Thoughts on the lopsided odds here?
Yeah, I don't really get the odds. I think it's a lot closer fight than what the odds suggest. Like, I am shocked. I talked to Lewis Smolka and I'm like, do you know how big of an underdog you are? And he's like, yeah, I don't really understand it. Like, yeah. I get if I would be an underdog, but I think this is honestly too big of an underdog or too big of a favorite for Casey Kenney, who's not like a huge, like, he's not a top 15 guy, or he's not like proven a ton in the UFC.
They're cool.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. You know what, Cole? I'm going to go with Kenny, but I'm with you. Like, the odds to me are just too lopsided. Like, I wouldn't lay minus 270 on Casey Kenney. He's looked okay in the UFC. Like, he lost, his last fight to Merab, but at least he toughed it out. I mean, he went the full 50 minutes with a really, like, underrated dude in Merab. The two wins, to me, they weren't that impressive, Cole. Like, the Borg and Bermudez wins, two guys struggled with weight. I mean, they're on paper, they're solid wins, but I think some of the wins he had in LFA were pretty good. Like, that Brandon Royval win's good, you know, especially looking back now. So, you know, it's a guy that's pretty talented. Lewis Smolka, really like this guy's story, man. I mean, obviously he struggled with alcoholism throughout his career. He's, you know, basically bounced back from that with his second stint in the UFC. Now he's looked pretty good, 2-1 record. The loss to Chanel was under, and then the wins over McDonald and Mudaudry. But his first stint in the UFC showed a lot of flaws in his game, Cole. And it's hard for me to forget all those flaws that I've seen in his game over the years. So to me, Casey Kenney's probably going to grind him out for a decision. I think a lot of this fight's going to take place against the fence too and stuff like that. So it could be a good fight. I don't know. Like, it's hard to say. I think it's going to be more grinding than we want. But I got to go with Casey Kenney or Cole by decision. But Cole, I wouldn't lay minus 270 on this guy. I mean, I just don't know why the odds are this lopsided. The value is on Lewis Smolka, and he could win this fight. But personally, I'm just going to stay away from this one. I just don't like the odds in it.
I didn't even give my pick. So, like, I'm actually going with Lewis Smolka. I just think his jiu-jitsu, I think that's going to cause Kenny problems to not wrestle him. And I just think his power at 35, I just think he's going to be better at 35. I think 35 is where he's at. To me, it's just all value on Lewis Smolka. That's why I have to pick him. But again, I think this fight's just dog or pass, really.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. All right, next up, flyweight fight, Tim Elliott against Brandon Royval. I know that you interviewed Tim Elliott, which is awesome. Saw your interview, Cole. Basically, what he was saying in Cole's interview was he want bonuses, Cole. Talk about it quickly, Cole, your interview with him.
Yeah, what's kind of interesting is you often see people say, like, oh, I want wins and work my rankings. But at flyweight, he says flyweight's always in danger of being chopped. So he's going to want to be a guy that wants to keep flyweight around. He wants to put on an exciting fight. He doesn't really care about winning fights anymore. He just says, I just want fight of the night bonuses, performance of the night bonuses. He's looking at bonuses. He's looking to show flyweight's still an exciting division and people should care about it.
Yeah. So the odds for this one, Tim Elliott, minus 160. Brandon Royval making his UFC debut, plus 140. Go ahead, Cole. Who's your pick?
I like Tim Elliott in this fight. It's a really tough one. I just think the experience, like, he's fought the best of the best. He's fought Demetrius Johnson. He's fought Joseph Benavidez. And he's gone through a lot. Like, he was on tough, and he won tough, and he had some good wins on tough, like Matt Schnell, Eric Shelton. His last two losses were a submission loss to Davison Figueroa, where he even says it was come back off his knee injury, but he says what happened was his mouthpiece kind of got caught, and he started – and instead, he just, like, shot a desperation takedown, try to fix his mouth guard, and then Figueroa choked him out. And his last one, Askarov, that's not a bad loss either. I just think he's fought better level competition. Brandon Royval's good for him getting in the UFC. He was supposed to fight on the Contender Series. I just don't think he's at the level where Tim Elliott is. I think Elliott will be able to out-wrestle Royval. I think he's going to be out-strike him. I think Elliott's movement, the side-to-side movement, I think that's going to be a big difference. I think that's going to frustrate Royval. I don't see Elliott finishing Royval. He's never been finished, so I think Tim Elliott's going to win a decision.
Yeah, we just had some comments here from the last fight. Turned up MMA likes Kenny. He doesn't like the line, but he likes him. And then Daniel Edwards, he likes Smoke is a lot bigger. We're avoiding a bet on this one. Yeah, and Smoke is a big dude for that division. As far as this fight goes, Cole, I mean, I think your breakdown was pretty solid, but I'm actually going to take Royval here. Some underdogs are winning this card for sure, and I think this guy's a chance here. Tim Elliott, I definitely think he's like a tough gatekeeper type, but he's very beatable. He's lost quite a few fights in the UFC now. His submission defense is not the greatest, and Royval is very dangerous with submissions. You know, Elliott actually might be the one who initiates the takedown, but I think Royval is going to pull off a submission here, man. That's going to be my pick, guys. Brandon Royval is going to win by submission in this fight. I don't love him here. I mean, he hasn't made his UFC debut yet. Like, I have no idea how he's going to look in the UFC, but from what I've seen, the regional scene in LFA, he's looked pretty good. He's impressive. And to me, he's like a really rising prospect. While Elliott's kind of like just one of those guys that he's steady, but he's nothing spectacular. I think Royval could actually have a nice performance here. So my pick's going to be Brandon Royval +140 for my first underdog pick on the card. All right, Cole. Next fight, we have Jamahal Hill against Clinton Abreu in the UFC light heavyweight division. And right now we have Jamahal Hill -125, Clinton Abreu +105. Who's your pick, Cole?
I like Jamahal Hill, and I'm surprised the odds aren't more in his favor. I still think there's a lot of value to Jamahal Hill at this low of a favorite. I haven't been too impressed by Clinton Abreu. He obviously lost to Shamil Gadsmov, beat Sam Elvey, which isn't a huge win, and then lost to Magomed Ankalaev. I just haven't been impressed with him in the UFC. Jamahal Hill's coming up with a decision win over Darko Stojic, a good finish on the Contender Series. I just think he's a more powerful striker. I don't know if he'll be able to finish Abreu. Abreu's shown he has a good chin, but I just think Hill's a better striker. I'm more high on Hill, and I still think there's some good value even with him as the favorite.
And comments for the last fight here, Daniel Edwards likes Royval. And turned up MMA likes Elliott, doesn't like the odds. As far as this fight goes, yeah, I mean, I got to go with Hill too. I'm a little surprised the line's not higher, Cole. You're right, because he's a pretty good prospect, undefeated. I think he's looked pretty good in the UFC so far. The win over Stojic, I think that's not a bad win. I mean, that guy's not amazing by any means, but he's proven he can win the UFC. And then he looked really good in Contender Series too, Cole. He also has a previous win over Daquan Townsend, who's in the UFC as well. So, I mean, he's got, like, not a ton of experience, but he's looked pretty good from what I've seen. It seems like a natural or something, man. You know, some of these guys that picked up on Contender Series the last few years, like, don't have a lot of experience, but, like, they've shown that they can fight. So, I think this guy's pretty good. Clinton Abreu, cool. I don't know. Like, nothing about this guy's game impresses me at all. Like, he's just kind of there, you know. He's durable, I guess, and he does have a decent work rate, like, the win over Sam Alvey, he looked okay in that fight. I don't think Sam Alvey's like, at this point of his career, he's probably going to cut. He's lost 4 straight fights. So to me, Clinton Abreu, like, this win in the UFC is over a guy who's just an okay fighter. He does have a win over Johnny Walker. We should mention that from like a couple years ago, 5 years ago. Johnny's obviously a different fighter, but it is a decent win. I don't know. It's weird. Like, when I was breaking down the fights, like, I'm like, why do I even think Abreu can win? But for some reason, like, the odds are throwing me off. Cool. Like, what do the odds makers know about this? What are the people that are betting on it? Like, they must see something here. I'm guessing people think that Jamahal Hill is going to gas after one round and Abreu's just going to win a decision. That's what I'm thinking people are seeing. That's why the line's low. But to me, like, the line's kind of low. You open to -175, -125 now. Like, it's definitely, like, tempting to make a play on Jamahal Hill here, I think. You know, this is definitely a fight to look into a little bit more, but I'm definitely more impressed with him. I think he should win this fight. I got to pick Jamahal Hill, man. Probably decision just because Abreu hasn't really been finished in the UFC yet, but maybe he could get a knockout. But, it, you know, if it does go to decision, Cole, I am a bit worried about the guy's cardio too. So, like, it's one of those fights where I'd like to see more from Hill. But, you know, the win over Stojic did prove that he can at least go 50 minutes with the UFC caliber fighter. So maybe he can do that, but possibly he can get the knockout here too. I do like Jamahal Hill, don't get me wrong. It's just something about the line and the way it's moving is throwing me off. Like, what are people seeing that line? Anyways, next fight, Billy Quarantillo against Spike Carlos, catchweight, 550 pounds. It's weird how this is a catchweight fight, right, Cole? Like, no other fights are catchweights. And Dana White and the matchmakers were like, we don't like catchweight fights. We want fights in divisions. That's why guys are fighting up a weight class. Why the hell is this fight 150 then, Cole?
I know, why not just do 155? Like,
yeah, exactly. It's kind of weird, right? Like, I mean, I'm fine with it. If these guys like it, like, it's cool.
Unless one of them don't even weigh 155.
Yeah. That's. I mean, I'll just have to eat some bad food in the morning. Last fight, by the way, turned up at me. He likes Abreu. So, I mean, there's definitely some people that like him out there. And then Dan Edwards talking about the other fight. All right, so this fight, go ahead, Cole. I mean, right now we got Billy Quarantillo minus 155. Speaking of 155, and Spike Carlisle plus 135. Who's your pick?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Spike Carlisle impressed me in his last one where short notice beat Alon Cruz in the first round. I did not expect that. But Billy Quarantillo, I have to go with Billy Quarantillo. He's just the more experienced guy. He's been a guy on top, worked his way, didn't get signed up to top because he lost to Saul Rogers, worked his way back up. He's on a long winning streak. Good win in his debut, a submission win over Jacob Kilburn. Knocked out Camille Kirk on the Contender Series. I just think his experience, he's good everywhere. I think he's the better striker. I think he can take his fight down to the ground. I think that's where Carlisle won't have as much success as on the ground. But Carlisle, we've seen, he's a tough guy. So I don't know if Quarantillo will be able to finish him, but I like him to win this fight. I think he might be able to earn a TKO win, but if not, it'll be a decision.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are not big names, but this fight should be pretty good, I think. This probably could be one of the better fights in the card, Cole. Two exciting guys. Quarantillo looked good in the UFC with that one win over Kilburn, and then, of course, on the Contender Series with the win there. Overall, I mean, the guy's pretty impressive for sure. I think Carlisle's been impressive too, though. You know, the win against Alon Cruz was super impressive, and he's a guy with a lot of knockout power, as we've seen throughout his career. This is a great fight, you know, Cole. I think someone probably gets finished in this fight. These are two guys that are kind of at the bottom of this, whatever division they're in, I guess 145, but you know, they need a win here. So to me, it's going to be a good fight and someone's going to get finished. I'm going to pick Spike Carlisle, man. I'm going to go with the underdog here. Was really impressed with the Alon Cruz win by knockout there. I mean, Quarantillo's look good too, don't get me wrong, but he has been knocked out before. I think Spike Carlisle can catch him and knock him out. That's going to be my pick, guys. Taking a shot in the dark here. Spike Carlisle by knockout would be my pick on that one. All right, next fight, Cole. Women's flyweight belt between Kaitlyn Chookagian and Antonina Shevchenko. This is the last prelim on the undercard. Shevchenko minus 140, Chookagian plus 120. Cole, who's your pick in this fight?
I have to go with the underdog, Kaitlyn Chookagian. I do not get these odds whatsoever. I don't know why Antonina Shevchenko is a favorite. Maybe it's just because of her last name, but Kaitlyn Chookagian's a way better fighter. We saw Antonina Shevchenko get a step up. And that was Roxanne Modafferi. And I think Kaitlyn Chookagian's a lot better than Roxanne Modafferi. And Shevchenko did not look good in that fight. It was a split, but I think everyone kind of knew Modafferi won. I think it should have been unanimous.
Yeah.
Shevchenko in the UFC, she hasn't impressed me. She beat Jeho Kim and Lucy Pudilova, who I don't think Pudilova is even in the – I don't know if she's in the UFC. She's not a high-level girl. Kaitlyn Chookagian just fought for the belt. Before that, she, like, wins over Jennifer Maia, Joanne Calderwood, Alexis Davis, Irene Aldana, Lauren Murphy. Like, she's fought the who's who at flyweight and bantamweight. I know her fights aren't that entertaining. I just think she'll be able to counter-strike Shevchenko and coast a decision win. I don't get these odds. Maybe I'm not seeing something, but I have to go with Shevchenko or Chookagian by decision.
Yeah, it's tough. By the way, Daniel Edwards, he likes the Alpha Ginger in the last fight, just like me. Also, you got Marcus here. Marcus says, also, actually, turned up at me. He likes Carlisle too. He likes the Alpha Ginger. And then Marcus says he likes the underdog value on blonde fighter Kaitlyn Chookagian. So, you know, me and Cole, we'll talk a little bit about the fights, but I try not to let him influence me or me influence him. Like, just because I want to, you know, come into this podcast and have some disagreement, have some agreement, but just not really know the way each other's thinking. Because I feel like you just kind of get hive mind sometimes. Like, if this one guy's thinking this way, he might agree with him. So me and Cole were going in this blind, but he did mention to me that he liked Chookagian as an underdog. So I was kind of looking at her too, and I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, you know, Cole's a smart guy. He knows this. I think she can win this fight, Cole, but I'm actually going to take Antonina, and I don't love her. I wouldn't bet on her here. I just think she's going to win this fight by decision. I see it going full distance for sure. Definitely that's something you could bet on if you wanted, because that's, to me, like, close to a lock. It's minus 535 for the over 2.5. So everyone thinks this fight's going the full distance, Cole, and I think it will. So I didn't see the odds for that, guys, until now. So don't bet on that because it's stupid odds. Like, if anything, there's value on the under. But I think this fight's going the distance. You know, for me, the thing about this fight is, okay, with Antonina's fight against Roxanne, and she looked terrible in that fight and should have lost for sure, like unanimously. I don't understand who got who gave her that one split decision. But either way, the wrestling was the problem in that fight, and Chookagian's more of a striker. You know, I think this fight's going to take place in the feet. Chookagian's been able to kind of get through the UFC with this, like, really dull, boring style of fighting. I mean, quite honestly, like, it's not the most exciting to watch. It's pretty effective, though, Cole. She's able to stay on the outside and basically pick apart her opponents. A lot of times she's not even landing. She's just making noises that the judges are like, okay, she must be landing. So it irks a lot of people. She's proven she can win because she has a 6-3 record in the UFC. But when you talk about striking, to me, Antonina is a way better striker. And that's why she's a favorite. Well, she's a better striker. Now, if Caitlin mixes it up and uses takedowns to get the fight to the ground, I think that's her best path to victory. I think it's doing whatever Roxanne, just pushing Antonina against the fence, taking her down. Because Antonina doesn't have a good takedown defense. Her ground game is not good. I know she had the win over Putilova, but that fight was kind of back and forth before the finish goal. So, you know, if Putilova is a better fighter, who knows what would happen there. Again, you know, Chookagian could win this fight for sure by decision. That would probably be your method of victory, I would assume. I don't see her finishing Antonina. I just think Antonina is going to outstrike her, man. I think she's going to win the two of the three rounds and take a decision. But, you know, it's a super close fight. I'm not betting on it. I know you guys like the underdog here in Chookagian, which is cool. And turn up MMA, he also likes Chookagian. I could be wrong, guys, but, you know, I wanted to like Chookagian. I just think Antonina is going to get the job done here. So we'll see what happens. Again, you know, it's actually good that me and Cole disagree a little bit too, because I know that there was two cards in a row. We agree on everything, Cole, like the UFC 249 card. All the dogs were the same. And, you know, it's nice to disagree a little bit. But, yeah, Antonina by decision is my pick. She's not as good as Valentina, like, for sure. But I got to admit, though, I mean, if she wins this fight, because right now Caitlin's ranked number 2. Okay, and Antonina, I think, is 10. If she wins this fight, she jumps to number 2. Would she fight her sister? Probably not. But if they paid them enough money, would they fight? That'd be crazy. That'd be an interesting fight. I mean, Valentina would win, for sure. But, you know, Cole, like, is that a future money fight? We've seen, you know, siblings fight before. Not in the UFC, but we have in, what's his name? Phoenix, Carlos Fodor, right? Didn't he fight the Phoenix Jones guy? Whatever.
I think so.
Yeah, so I think they're brothers, right? So it happens, but I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's going to be a natural question that's going to be asked. People are going to be like, will you fight your sister? I think they've said they won't, but if it's for a title and a lot of money, wouldn't they go? Like, why wouldn't they? They fight in the gym. You know, sparring is tough, too. And it's not a fight, but it's pretty close. Anyways, we'll see what happens in this fight.
Something quick.
Yep.
Nolan just put it, like, King of MMA Junkie just put out, Kevin Holland's injured, so he's out of.
Yeah, so that sucks because that fight was going to be good. Okay, so we have 10 fights. We'll break it down anyways, Cole. I'm assuming he's out, but we'll just break it down just in case. We wouldn't have known 5 minutes ago. We'll talk about that fight in a second here. We'll start with the first fight on the main card quickly. Mackenzie Dern against Hannah Cyphers. And I say quickly because right now Mackenzie Dern is a pretty big favorite, minus 430, Cyphers plus 345. I like Dern in this fight, Cole. I know you do too. Like, I don't see how Cyphers wins. Break it down if you want, but to me, Dern takes her down and beats her up, probably finishes the fight. What do you think?
Yeah, this is a perfect setup play for Mackenzie Dern to get out back in the win column. She's someone the UFC's really high on. She's going to be much bigger than Hannah Cyphers. We saw what Angela Hill did, just took Cyphers down, just ground pound. I see the same thing happening. Mackenzie Dern is going to take Cyphers down, either submit or ground pound. I honestly don't even see this fight leading the first round.
100% I'm with you on this one. I mean, Hannah Cyphers is somewhat durable, but she has lost both her fights by TKO on the ground with strikes to Macy Barber in her last fight as well to Hill. She has won a few decisions, so, like, she does have pretty good cardio and toughness against people who don't have, like, serious finishing ability. But, you know, Mackenzie Dern finishes her fights, and in this fight, I think Dern gets it to the ground and finishes her. Dern inside a distance, minus 145, that's something to consider. Cole likes the under at plus 130. That's something to consider. I agree, it's probably going to be the first round. Could be second round, though. But, yeah, Dern by, I'll say submission, Cole. I mean, it could be a TKO, too. Either way, I mean, honestly, she's probably going to finish this fight, so you know, it's hard to pin it down if it's going to be submission or TKO, but inside a distance, Dern, I like her quite a bit, man. I mean, if you're going to parlay someone on this card, she'd definitely be something to consider. It is high odds, minus 430 for sure. I just don't see how Cyphers wins this fight. She doesn't have the wrestling skills to deal with Dern. And on the ground, Dern, her jiu-jitsu is ridiculous. So that's how I see this fight going. Although I will admit that she didn't look very good against Rebus, but I think that the layoff had a lot to do with that, Cole. and, you know, having a kid and stuff like that. So I think she'll be a lot more effective in this fight. All right, next up, lightweight bouts. Roosevelt Roberts against Brock Weaver. Roosevelt Roberts, he's one of the bigger favorites in the card, minus 320, and Brock Weaver plus 260. Who's your pick, Will?
I have to go with Roosevelt Roberts. I'm not high on Brock Weaver at all. His UFC debut, just he did not look good. He got the win because of the illegal knee, and he got knocked out because of the knee, but he was not look good. And Roderick Barts, I don't think, is that good. I just think Roosevelt Roberts is going to out-wrestle Brock Weaver, and just Brock Weaver's a stand-up guy. I think Roosevelt Roberts' ground game is going to be huge. Yeah. I think he can even submit Brock Weaver here. I don't really get the match ring because it seems like the UFC liked Brock Weaver. I don't really get this. I thought they'd try to build him up, but I don't see a way he wins this fight at all. I just think Roosevelt Roberts is a better all-around fighter. I even think he can finish Brock Weaver by submission.
It's one of those things, Cole, like they just need fighters to fill in. So, you know, they're calling two guys at lightweight. I mean, let's be honest, like they're not like contenders. I mean, Roberts could be. He's looked okay in the UFC. The loss to Pichel does bother me still. Like, I thought he win that. I was really surprised he lost that fight. But he looked good otherwise. Gifford, Yakovlev, Horcher. The Yakovlev win showed that he can compete with, like, a really big dude. And Brock Weaver, you know, he's a guy that, honestly, Cole, like, Dana White signed a lot of guys for Contender Series last year. I don't think he should have been signed. He basically liked his personality. It wasn't, and the fight, I guess, was kind of exciting. But I didn't see, like, UFC caliber fighter here. I could be wrong. Maybe he turns into a pretty good – he's on a five-fight win streak. But, Cole, two of those wins are by a DQ. Like, he's not even really winning these fights, guys. He's won two of them by DQ. You also had that loss to Joe Riggs, which bothers me, Cole. He lost in bare knuckle to an aging Joe Riggs. That really bothers me. So, I don't think that this guy is UFC caliber, you know, quite frankly. I know, again, Dana White likes him. That's cool. I'm not seeing it with Brock Weaver. I think Roberts just grinds him out here, man. Probably gets a decision win. I don't see a finish, but, you know, Weaver, I guess, could be stopped. He has been submitted before. It's possible. I'm thinking, though, it's probably going to be a decision for Roberts. I don't like the odds of minus 320. I don't like them. So I personally wouldn't lay that. You know, if you're going to bet a favorite, bigger favorite here, if you really need to, I would say Dern is, like, a better bet. But, you know, people are betting on Roger Roberts because the line keeps going up. There's minus 290, now it's minus 320. Yeah, so Roberts, my decision. All right, so we'll break down the Hall and Rodriguez fight. Even though Cole just said that no one broke the news, it's not happening. I just want to break it down anyways, just, you know, in case something miraculous happens. Kevin Hall, minus 220. Daniel Rodriguez, plus 180. Who's your pick, Cole? It's at 170 pounds, by the way. Hall moving down.
I would have picked Kevin Holland in this fight. I just think he's better. I know Rodriguez, obviously, a good one over Tim Means. I just think Holland was a better all-around fighter. I didn't really like the drop down. He's a small guy. He weighed in like 182 for his last fight, but just to cut to 170 this quick, I didn't really like. But I would have picked Holland. I honestly think he would have finished Daniel Rodriguez as well.
Man, I think this would have been a tough fight to pick, personally. I think this was one of the tougher fights with Holland moving down in weight, taking the fight on 2 weeks. He's fighting two times in 2 weeks, basically. That's crazy to me, too. I know this last one was quick, but cutting weight twice, especially cutting down to a lower weight class, that's nuts. I still would have picked Holland, Cole, just because I'm really high on Kevin Holland. I think he's looked really good in the UFC. The odds on him are usually pretty good, and he's won quite a bit of fights. So he's been a good bet throughout his UFC career. But Rodriguez looked great against Tim Means, man, and he's on a seven-fight win streak. So I think the fight's not taking place now, apparently, but I think Rodriguez had a good chance to win this fight. I wouldn't have bet on Kevin Holland in this fight. I think Rodriguez could have finished him, quite frankly. I'm kind of glad I'm not making my pick because I think Rodriguez might have pulled off the upset here. But, you know, calling by probably TKO, I don't see this fight going the distance, Cole. If it, you know, again, it's not happening now, but I don't think it would have went the distance, Cole. I think someone would have been finished in this fight. I'm guessing Holland would have finished Rodriguez, but, you know, Rodriguez, man, that win over Tim Means was impressive, man. Tim Means is a good fighter. Just getting some comments here. Turn it up, MMA says Cypher's by KO, but he's just joking. Daniel Edwards, he thinks that the matchmaking is tough on her. Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know why. They've matchmade her tough. Like, she's had really hard fights. Macy Barber in her debut back when Macy was, like, a top prospect. I mean, she still is, I guess, but the loss to Roxanne hurt. Turn it up, MMA, he likes Weaver, and then Daniel Edwards, he's confident Roberts. Okay, fair enough. All right, next fight. This is the co-main event, Cole. I mean, this is a prelim on a pay-per-view card. This is not really a co-main event worthy fight, but two guys that are ranked in the heavyweight division. We got Blagoy Ivanov taking on Augusto Sakai here. Blagoy Ivanov right now, the odds are really close. Augusto Sakai is actually a minus 115 favorite. Ivanov, minus 105. Ivanov opened slightly as a favorite at minus 140. with like Sakai at plus 100. So the line's pretty much held even with a slight shift towards Sakai, but it's a heavyweight fight, Cole. Who's your pick in this matchup between these two big boys?
Yeah, I like Blagoy Ivanov. I just think in a heavyweight fight, it's such a toss-up, but he's shown he has such a good chin where I think Sakai can't knock him out. And I just think Ivanov, over three rounds, he doesn't seem to fade. Like, he looked good. He went five rounds Junior Dos Santos, looked good against Derek Lewis. Some people even thought he beat Derek Lewis. I just don't think Augusto Sakai has beaten or fought the guys Ivanov has. The split decision over Andrei Arlovsky, a lot of people thought Arlovsky won that fight. He obviously knocked out Marcin Tybura, which looks good. But some of his other ones, like Chase Sherman, at the time, Sherman wasn't the Chase Sherman that just fought recently. I don't think he's on the level of Blagoy Ivanov. I just think Ivanov's striking. I think his sambo wrestling is maybe something he doesn't use, but I honestly think he might use against Augusto Sakai just to score some takedowns, get some points. I think Ivanov's going to win a decision, but again, I wouldn't bet on this fight at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's heavyweights between two guys that they've never been knocked out. So, I mean, that's kind of interesting. You don't see that typically in the UFC, but neither guy's been finished before. It's a pretty tough fight to call. I think it's going to be really competitive. I see it taking place on the feet. I think it's just going to be two guys kind of striking against each other. I don't really see any takedowns being shot. Maybe Reichel, maybe Blagoy does, but I kind of see Sakai being the faster guy here and having a higher work rate and winning a decision. I don't think I'd bet on this fight just because it's heavyweights and something crazy could happen, but my lean's towards Sakai. Cole, I remember seeing him when I was in Brazil last year. He was at the UFC 237 Fighter Hotel, and I was definitely like surprised how big this guy was, like when I saw him in person, because when he doesn't look like a huge heavyweight, but he was actually bigger than I thought. And I'm like, all right, you know what? Ivanov's kind of undersized a little bit too. So I'm going to pick Augusto Sakai, Cole, but you know, it's heavyweight fight. Who knows? I typically try to stay away from heavyweight fights. All right. Finally, main event of the evening. We got the best fight in the card, obviously. Tyron Woodley against Gilbert Burns, 170 pounds. Five-round fight. The winner probably gets close to a title shot. Don't know if they will get one, but they'll definitely be in the mix. Right now, we have Tyron Woodley as a minus 190 favorite and Gilbert Burns plus 165. Cole, who's your pick for the main event of UFC Fight Night, Woodley versus Burns?
Yeah, this is an interesting fight. I have to go with Tyron Woodley. I just think Woodley's the better fighter. I just think he's motivated again. I don't think Gilbert Burns is on the level of Tyron Woodley. I think Tyron Woodley's even going to finish Gilbert Burns. I think Burns won't be able to – his path to victory is obviously on the ground. I just don't think he will be able to get it. Woodley has such good takedown defense. I think Woodley can just piece up Burns and TKO him in the third or fourth round.
Damn, dude. I don't think you're giving Burns any credit here, Cole. I'm surprised because you've been all over him the last few fights, man. I think this fight's really close, but I'm going to go with Gilbert Burns, man. There's a few reasons I'm like going to go with Burns here. First off, Tyron Woodley hasn't fought in well over a year now. He hasn't fought in 15 months. The layoff concerns me. He looked really bad against Usman. I saw a stat last night, which is just like crazy. Since the last time Woodley won, which was against Darren Till in September 2018, since that time, Gilbert Burns has won five fights. So he's had five wins in that time while Woodley hasn't had any. And listen, Woodley is a really good fighter. He's ranked number one, but he's also 38 years old now. He hasn't fought in forever. And, you know, one of his problems in his fights is his like work rate and lack of it. He's definitely been successful throughout his career, but some of these fights that he won were like pretty close, like the Stephen Thompson fight, the Calvin Gastelum fight. I think if those guys, you know, had slightly higher work rates, they would have won this fight. Gilbert Burns, really good cardio. Since he's moved up to 170, he's looked incredible. He's looked like a different fighter to me. Knocking out Damian Maia, like that's who does that? That was impressive as hell. And then obviously the wins over Gunnar Nelson and Kachenko, a couple other wins he's had throughout his career. Obviously, he's a guy that's lost a few times. I think he's learned from his losses. I've been really impressed with Gilbert Burns, man. This is a tough fight to call, but I think the value's on Burns personally. I think he can probably win decision here. I don't know if it's going to be a knockout. You know, I'm thinking it's going to be decision. I see the fight taking place on the feet, though, Cole. I just think Burns is going to have a higher work rate than Woodley. But, you know, it's not an easy fight to call. I know Cole likes Woodley here. And see what people say in the chat. Dale Edwards, odds on Burns by stoppage. They could happen, man. I think it could happen. Woodley's definitely – he's tough to finish, but he has been knocked out. Neymar knocked him out. One of the best knockouts ever, probably. That fight was sick back in the day. And turn up MMA likes Woodley. We'll see. This is going to be an interesting fight. I think there's value on Woodley, though, because I think, to me, I was having a hard time picking it. So to me, it's kind of like a pick'em fight. So +165, I'll take the dog. I took a few dogs on this card, actually. We'll see what happens, though. I mean, it's going to be a really interesting card. Anything else, Cole, you want to say about this event before we move on to some news here?
No.
Okay, cool. And then comments. We got every, oh, Kishiro Rurodoji. Burns away with thinking he finished the biggest power puncher in welterweight. Saturday won't happen. Don't forget Woodley's a former three-time defending welterweight champ. Yeah, man, for sure. I mean, Woodley's definitely a great fighter. I mean, he's been really solid throughout his career, but, you know, he doesn't fight that often. He's getting older. There's things that I don't like about him here. So we'll see. But, I mean, you guys could be right. It's not a listing. Maybe it's just a great map. Maybe I'm not seeing it. But I think Burns, man, the improvements I've seen in this guy's game have been impressive to watch. I'll say that. And hell, you know, I doubt he takes him down. But who knows? Like, if the fight goes in the ground, you know, Burns would have an advantage too. All right. Marcus has a question. But Marcus, I'm going to wait for that one. Let me just get to some news that we had first. I want to start with Henry Cejudo here, Cole. So Henry Cejudo retires from MMA, and the UFC men's bantamweight title is now vacant. Now we're wondering what's going to be next. Peter Yan seems to be the guy. Dana White mentioned that, but of course, travel restrictions from Russia. Who knows if that could happen? I'm thinking that they should have moved Sterling and Sanhagen to that June 13th card and made it 5 rounds for a title. Cool. Why not at this point? I don't see why Just Guy and Calvillo is made. We'll talk about it in a few minutes, but what do you think is going to happen with the belt, Cole?
See, I don't think you should move that fight from the pay-per-view because you need good fights on the pay-per-view for people to buy it. A fight night who they don't care if many people watch it. I think they should have done Sterling Sanhagen on it for a title, but on the pay-per-view, make that pay-per-view 2 title fights. I know they wanted Yan, but it's easy just to say Yan gets the winner of this. Like, what's the difference? But maybe you do Yan Moraes if Travel's up as the title, and then you do the whoever wins Sterling Sanhagen fights that. But they have options, so I just hope Aldo doesn't get it because I didn't like it when he was fighting Cejudo. I just don't think he deserves it. Yeah. I think you do Yan Moraes or winner of Sterling Sanhagen versus Yan for the belt.
Yeah, both those fights make sense. I hope Aldo doesn't get it either, but he might. Who knows? He's a big name, but probably not. Yeah, I mean, I never was thinking about just moving that fight up on the card, the Nunez-Spencer card. I guess you're right, they could just do 2 title fights. That doesn't make sense. But, you know, Cole, I kind of disagree with one thing you said. Like, I think the ratings do matter. They do care what Fight Night ratings pull in. And they're doing really well right now from what I've seen. So, to me, they could easily put that on the Fight Night card. But, you know what? Either way, like, I'm just kind of sad that fight's not 5 rounds, Cole, because I do see it going the full 3 rounds, probably. And I would rather see that fight for 5 rounds because I think you might get a finish late. So, it's too bad because of the winner of that fight between Sterling and Sanhagen. Definitely has a right to fight for that belt. All right, next I want to talk about Colby Covington here, Cole. Marcus actually sent me an email or a DM last night. He's like, hey, you notice Colby Covington is taking off the ATT website, which obviously I hadn't. And I asked you, Cole, right away. And I know you have something like to talk about quickly here. Anything you want to mention?
Yeah, nothing's confirmed. I think he's obviously removed for a reason, I think. Something happened there, but Dan Lambert's not saying anything. Colby's not saying anything. So it's something happened. I just don't know what it is.
I mean, it's pretty inevitable if he does leave, I think, just because I think once he signed with another like management group, Cole, on top of Lambert, I think it's Balenci. And once he signed with them, I was like, okay, well, you know, he's looking at the next phase of his career. Colby, you know, love him or hate him, the guy I think is a pretty good businessman. So you know, he's probably got something in the works here if he does leave, but I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens. But, you know, I am glad, Marcus, you pointed that out. Next up, talk about McGregor and Usman. Ali Abdelaziz pushing this fight between Usman and McGregor, Cole, saying, like, Masvidal to fight Nate. And we got Marcus actually basically asking the same question. Do you think Masvidal will rematch Nate or fight Usman next? Well, Masvidal Usman should be the fight because those other top two guys right now are 170. That should be the fight. But if there's something to this Nate Diaz Masvidal rematch, which I don't understand. It's kind of come out of nowhere, Cole. I'd rather see Masvidal Usman and then McGregor can fight Diaz. You know, that to me, that makes more sense. I'd rather just see McGregor fight Diaz again. That's such an easy fight for the UFC to book. Masvidal should fight Usman, Cole. I am kind of interested in Usman versus McGregor. I'm not going to lie, Cole. I think it is kind of like most people think that Usman takes him down. Usman did open as a favor, but McGregor's got that knockout power, so he can always win fights. The thing is, I'm just not interested about Masvidal and Diaz too after we saw what happened at UFC 244. And I was one of the people saying like that fight was stopped early by the doctor, but I still don't think Nate would have won the fight. So I don't know, Cole. What do you think happens here? Like, who do you think gets the title shot against Usman?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I wonder if this is kind of a ploy by Masvidal and his management to see what they can get more money with. I wonder if they weren't liking what they're getting with Usman, so they'll say, fine, we'll just fight Diaz. But McGregor Usman is interesting. I think Usman would take it down, but I don't know. Like, McGregor Walter looks good, but I don't think McGregor deserves it. Like, why not do a coming to a rematch? Why not do whoever wins Woodley Burns? Like, I think there's a lot, or Leon Edwards, there's a lot more deserving contenders, but Masvidal has options. Like, it's going to be Diaz or Usman, and both those are going to pay him well.
I mean, why are we even talking about Masvidal and McGregor? Like, that fight's huge. Remember at the Cerrone fight, they had Usman and Masvidal in the crowd, and they showed them, and people were like, well, okay, McGregor's going to call Masvidal or Usman. He didn't, and he chose not to. It was kind of weird, kind of a wasted opportunity. I think those fights are both interesting for sure, but they got to figure it out. Conor wants to fight soon. UFC needs him to fight soon. They need some big names fighting, Cole. Like, they have, you know, these cards coming up, and they have a lot of cards, but we aren't really seeing the superstars fighting, Cole. Like, John Jones is not fighting right now. So we need guys like McGregor and Jones to fight. Comments here, turn up and made nice work, gents. Thanks for tuning in, bro. Consider Doju. If it makes a lot of money and sense, then Jorge versus Nate and Conor versus Usman at UFC 252. I guess. I just don't see Jorge and Nate being a big fight right now. What am I not seeing here, Cole? Like, we've seen it. And it wasn't close. Maybe down the road, I just don't see why Masvidal be like coming off a win streak with so much momentum. That would totally be what the UFC does too. They just waste a lot of momentum on a rematch that we don't need to see. He should be fighting for the belt, or he should fight McGregor next. That's who I want to see Masvidal fight. Okay, let's talk about McGregor again. The GOAT list. His list was so terrible. I didn't agree with his list at all. Anderson, number one, you could defend it, I think. Like, there's certainly an argument for that, but McGregor having himself a number two is such a joke. He had GSP at three, John Jones at four, and I think that's all he had in his list. He was saying later that, you know, Habib doesn't deserve to be on his list. He's like, his best win is me, and like, I had a broken foot or something. Like, the guy, he's, and it's, you know, the sad thing is his fans were like defending him, and I saw that poll that Chamakar did, and like, GSP won the poll, I think, but McGregor was higher ranked on the poll, like, than Anderson, so he got a lot of respect. To me, John Jones is the best ever, Cole. Like, he's number one, you know? And then GSP Anderson. I think those are the top three guys, personally. McGregor wouldn't crack my top five. Like, you know, you talk about, like, what he's done for the sport, business, and financially. Yeah, for sure. And, like, he's looked good. Never defended his belt, though, Cole. What kind of GOAT hasn't defended his belt? He'd probably make the bottom in my top 10 if I had to really think about it. But I wouldn't put Conor McGregor in my top five, Cole. I don't know. What do you think?
I think he cracks top five, and I think
he isn't defending.
Even Cormier did his list, and he had him at four.
How? Like, how?
Look what he's done. He beat Aldo. He beat Mendez. He's beat Alvarez. First champ. Like
to me, that's like the greatest of all time. Look how many title defenses Anderson Silva, GSP, and John Jones have. Like, Demetrius Johnson should be ranked higher than Conor McGregor. Obviously, Cole, you're entitled to your opinion. I just strongly disagree. I don't understand. Like. Doesn't title defenses, doesn't that matter to you, Cole?
It does, but I think he has a lot of good wins too. Like,
yeah, he does.
Which I think he ran featherweight and he was, and then at lightweight, he obviously beat Alvarez. He's obviously not the best. He's not number two. I don't even think he's top three. I think you can make the argument Cejudo's ahead of him, Habib's ahead of him, yeah. DC might be ahead of him.
Yep.
I just think he's in that like 5 to 7 range.
He could be, you know, it's such a subjective thing, Cole. Like, you can't – there's nothing to really define it. But to me, greatest of all time, you had to have defended your belt. He did win two belts, but he lost them both too because he was dumb. So, I don't know. I just – okay, you got to agree with me that having him number two on his own list is just hilarious, right? Like, and no one agreed with that, by the way. I don't think – except for his fans. But, like, I saw, like, Bisping was like, are you kidding me, dude? Like, GSP should be higher than you. It is what it is. It was something to talk about for sure. It's crazy though. He really reignited that like GOAT talk, but I just, you know, 5 to 10 range may be cool, but to me, not top five. Or I should say 6 to 10 range, I guess. Mike Tyson, Cole, probably making a comeback here. Now they're talking about Wanderlei Silva or Tito Ortiz. Do you think he fights in bare knuckle, boxing, or an MMA? What do you think?
I think neither. I don't think he's fighting bare knuckle. And Tito Ortiz, I don't think that ever happens. I think Tito Ortiz is just talking, but I think if he fights, it's going to be a boxing match. It's going to be like Holyfield. It's going to be someone like that. Just just a charity match. That's all he said he wants to do is charity. He doesn't want, where I don't think Baranok would do that because they obviously want to make money. So I can't see him fighting either of them.
Yeah, I think it'll be a boxing too. I don't think he'll fight in MMA. It doesn't make sense. Like, he fought Tito in MMA, Tito will win. But it's just boxing. You know, he beats Tito every day probably. I don't know. He'll probably fight a boxer, but these fights do, they're not that crazy, I don't think. You know, these are big combat sports. And Tito Ortiz is a big name in combat sports. He kind of deserves, like, this fight, if you think about it. Like, it's a legacy fight, but, you know, again, it could be a guy like Holyfield, like you said. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, I think Tyson will fight again, which is crazy to think, but I think it's going to happen in boxing. Dan Ige says he'll get Barboza. Do you actually think that happens, or do you think the UFC just moves on with these guys?
I think the UFC just moves on with both of them. I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Barboza, like if he goes back to lightweight, if he stays at 45. I wonder if the UFC is going to treat it like a win and still give him a ranked guy because he's obviously a big name, but I can't see them rematching.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. You know, there's guys in the top 15, though, he beats, I think, like Arnold Allen. He's ranked like number 11. Like that fight makes sense. Like, even though Barboza lost, give him another chance to get back in that top 15. For Allen, it would be the biggest win of his career, I think, right? So that fight makes sense. Jeremy Stephens, I mentioned that call, number 9. I think Barboza deserves a ranked opponent. I don't really want to see the rematch, even though the decision I don't like, I didn't really agree with, but not too interested in a rematch. Cynthia Calvillo versus Shasky is going to be the main event, the June 13th card. This has to be one of the worst events in UFC history, Cole. I don't get it, man. Any thoughts on this one?
I'm not even doing a pros picks for it. It's not worth my time to text all those people, call them, ask them what they're picking. I think it's a terrible main event. It's
bad.
I think it's going to go 5 rounds, too, because I don't see either of them finishing it.
Yeah, oh, God. I saw some people joking, like, they're going to go sleep early on Saturday, just sleep in the next day. Yeah, I don't know, Cole. I don't understand. I get it, you know, with the short notice, and they're having a hard time finding people in the fight, but really, this is the main event, guys. Like, a fight, like, again, Sterling Sandhagen, that should be 5 rounds, in my opinion. I just don't understand why this would be the choice for the matchmakers. I'm just going to look at some other fights in that card and see what else is better. I mean, Feely and Jourdain, I guess that can't really be a main event, but that, to me, is a better fight. What about the other card here? The Nunes-Spencer card. I mean, again, you know, I just think that Sterling and Sandhagen fight, but even like Garbrandt and the Sunsaw, that could have been 5 rounds. Cool. That would have been a better main event, in my opinion.
Yeah.
What about Sean O'Malley and Eddie Wineland?
I don't give O'Malley a spotlight.
Dude, give him the main event. Why not? The guy's awesome, and he deserves it. That card actually is pretty underrated, Cole, the UFC 250 card. It's not bad. Just it's lacking a big title fight at the top. That's the problem with that card. I don't see that fight selling very well, personally. All right, Cole, one thing here from you. UFC 250, Cody Stamen against Brian Kelleher. You broke the news, man. So it's close to being official, right?
Yeah, just because there was a holiday in the States yesterday, people told me its contract should be sent out today. It's what I was told, 99% June 6th. There's still a chance it's June 13th just because Kelleher just fought and there's worry that he might not get cleared, but all signs point to June 6th. Still figuring out the weight. That's part of why the contracts haven't been sent out is do they go 45? Kelleher fought a 45 against Azure. He's someone that said he's not going to cut weight during the pandemic. I think Stamen would be open to it, so that's kind of the final hurdles, but it's all agreed to. It's verbally agreed to. Just waiting to sign the contracts.
Yeah, and a really good fight. And Kelleher, man, he's won a lot of fights in underdog where a lot of us were just like, this guy's not going to win this fight, and he's pulled it off. So he's looked pretty good. And then, obviously, Stamen's like one of the top contenders right now. He's very good. So really good fight, Cole. Nice job breaking that news. Anything else that you've heard, Cole? Any other rumors or fight announcements that you know, you've just kind of heard? No? Nothing?
No.
I'm sure we'll see more stuff pop up. These cards are kind of filling up.
June 13th card still needs a lot of fights, yeah, I'm exactly. Sure, this week. I think probably on the broadcast Saturday, you'll see the official UFC 250 lineup because there's still only 10 or 11 fights. I think they're going to add a couple.
Yeah.
And then I think even the rest of this week, early next week, you're going to finalize the June 13th card.
Yeah, you might see some like newcomers kind of get signed for that card. All right, Cole. Anything else you want to talk about? Anything we missed? I think we've got everything that I want to talk about. Anything else that you want to talk about, Cole?
No, I think we got everything.
All right, cool. Cole, plug your stuff, man. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, Twitter, HackleShell91. I talked to Tim Elliott. Talked to a bunch of people on this card. just everything's always on my Twitter for everything I do.
Yeah, definitely follow Cole. He's a must follow. Thanks for following me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. I'm available at bjpenn.com, maoddsbreaker.com, and maranks.net. This week, opening odds and main event preview over at maoddsbreaker.com. maratings.net. I have an article coming up on like the next phase and block of the UFC events in Vegas, and also a main event closer look. And then bjpenn.com for the news. You guys can find this podcast, obviously, at YouTube. It's also available on iTunes, Spotify, a bunch of other places. Please subscribe. Tell your friends about it, guys. I appreciate that. Trying to grow it slowly but surely. I think you guys know we do a pretty good job on here. So definitely, you know, we'd appreciate you guys spread the word about it. And once again, anyone who sent a question or a comment or just watched or listened, really appreciate it, guys. Cole, appreciate you joining me, man, as always. And guys, thanks for tuning in. I'll talk to you guys on Friday for the next edition of the podcast. I'll be here at 10 a.m. on Friday morning. Have a good day, everyone. See you later. Bye.